Well, thank you for playing your parts well. Much appreciated. Disciple, good job.
Thank you.
All right.
Such a lengthy piece,
yes, really challenging you. Well, we are in for the long haul, my friends. I'm sorry to tell you, but that's just how it is for these next 3 weeks. We have the storyteller, the Gospel of John. And John, he's like your grandpa. You remember your grandpa's stories that would go on and on? Or maybe your uncle that could not ever tell a story in brief, but always had to tell the whole thing. I know, I agree, Amina. It's just too much. And don't worry, we get more next week, and then even more the following week when we read the whole Passion, and then John's Passion on Good Friday. Except also, like our elders who tell those really long stories, this story that we hear is not just a story. It is told with purpose. It has a depth of wisdom, not only divine wisdom from Jesus, the Savior of the world, but the wisdom of the storyteller, John, who takes decades to write down his account of what he has witnessed after years of processing and prayer. You all remember last week, which was also the Gospel of John, right? You remember last week? Pastor Freeze preached on that famous story of Nicodemus, a well-respected religious person who sought out Jesus in the dark of night, telling him, and then Jesus tells him, do you remember what he tells him? You can say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. God so loved the world. And then we have this week. This week, we have a very different story, seemingly. This is the story of an unnamed woman, someone not only without status, but of questionable holiness, a Samaritan, as opposed to the religious leader Nicodemus. She doesn't seek him out as Nicodemus does, call for a meeting with this proclaimed rabbi, but rather Jesus comes upon her at the well. They meet not in the dark of night, but the light of noonday. He comes with questions. You might even call them academic questions for someone who is learned. She meets the strange words of Jesus with curiosity and with her own sense of her identity and her people's story. In other words, these two stories could hardly be more different, except, of course, for Jesus. It's as though Jesus said to Nicodemus last week, God so loved the world, and then like the lawyer who asks, and who is my neighbor? Who exactly do I have to love? Jesus, in his very next interaction after meeting Nicodemus in the middle of the night, shows him who is included in the world. Someone as different from Nicodemus as could be imagined. In other words, every time we try to draw a circle around who God loves, if there is anyone outside that circle, that is surely where we will find Jesus. It's like that song. Did you ever watch the movie Love Actually? You ever watch that movie? I watched it when I was in labor with Sarah. Yeah, as it goes. Do you remember the movie Love Actually? It's a series of love stories, and one of the cutest is this drummer boy, this little boy. He has lost his mother, and his father is so worried for him because he's locked up in his room. And finally, he finds out why he is so distraught. And it's not his mom, though he very much misses his mom. It is that he has a crush on this little girl, and he says, she doesn't even know I exist. And so then he is determined to learn how to play the drums to get her to notice him. And so at the end of Love Actually, she is the lead singer and she's singing, all I want for Christmas is you. And she points right at him and his face lights up. And then she goes, and you, and you, and you. And his face falls. That is the love of God. That it is not set aside for you alone and for people like you, but Jesus is truly the Savior of the world. And so what? What does that actually do for those of us who seek the love of Jesus? What does that do for anyone? Life's still a mess, isn't it? Well, let's take a step back. What do we know about the woman who comes to the well? We know that she has been married how many times? Five times. It's a lot of times, right? Now, we don't know why. We get no backstory. There could be a very legitimate reason. Like, you marry someone, he dies, you're supposed to marry the next brother. That's how it works. Maybe there were just five brothers, as is told in a different story from Jesus. But then to add to it, now she is living with someone that she is not married to. Jesus states this with no judgment, seemingly. We know that she is quite bold, isn't she? I mean, for a woman in this era, right? To be at the well and to encounter this person who I can only imagine carries divinity with him. Like, he has an aura about him, right? And yet she is bold and curious. She is no timid woman, but engages fully with Jesus. And she is rewarded for her willingness to engage with a promise. She hears this promise from the mouth of Jesus, the Messiah. Those who drink of the water that I will give will never be thirsty. What more does Jesus know about this woman that will have any meaning for her whatsoever? Clearly, she is confused by the first time he says it, and so he describes it further, but he seems to know that she is yearning for something more, for something that she probably cannot even name, but something she has never had, a sense of contentment, a sense of all being right in her world. He knows that life for her has been long and hard and unsatisfying. In fact, I believe that Jesus sees the same yearning in Nicodemus, for both Jesus sees past their outward appearance, past their religious identity and position in society, and sees the depth of who they are, which is seemingly incomplete, unsatisfied. I know some of you, maybe even all of you, know what that feels like, to feel empty, or numb, or lonely, even while you know there are people around you who love you, still you have deep moments of loneliness. Or you feel like life just isn't quite right and you don't even know what right would look like. Jesus promises that to know the love of God truly and completely would mean that you are truly satisfied. Don't you want that? Maybe you have moments of that. I know I have had glimpses of contentment. Despite all that is happening in the world, when somehow, knowing that there is so much that is wrong, still you feel at peace with yourself, at peace with the love of God. To live into that promise fully is to first allow yourself to trust God completely. And that is what God does in your heart, right? And then second, it is to recognize the barriers that exist for others from experiencing that kind of contentment. Whether that is isolation or hunger or mental or physical illness or an unfulfilling job or despair at the state of, you know, to have faith in God and to recognize the barriers for others. To be Nicodemus, right? To be Nicodemus and let go enough of his religious confinement, the rules that he has lived within for so long, and to experience the joy of something new and different, to have a new heart, and at the same time to seek the good of someone as different from him as the Samaritan woman at the well. To be the woman at the well and take for granted the truth of the audacious claim that Jesus makes to be the Savior of the world. And then to eagerly rush to not hold on to that for herself, but then to go tell the whole town, which by the way was surely gossiping about her for the last few decades, but to make sure that they know that they don't miss out. To lean into God's promises and to see the police officer as a whole human, as more than their badge. To see the neighbor as more than their immigration status, as a whole person with a whole story for how and when and why they got here. To see the person who walks into loaves and fishes as more than their recent addiction, but for their need for a sense of dignity. To see you as more than your age, or your job, or your mental health. May we see one another with the eyes of Jesus. And through that lens, may we all know what it feels like to be fully satisfied, to be known and loved, to know and to love at the exclusion of no one. May we individually and collectively know what it feels like to taste of the water that gushes up to eternal life. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.